Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, a lot of entertainment is returning. Disneyland half marathon information, new additions to San Francisco Square.
Disneyland first timer tips, a new segment on the show, and we talk our predictions for 2024 and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Howdy, partners. For your safety, remain seated with your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast. And be sure to watch your ears. If any of you folks are wearing hats or glasses, best remove them, because Tag and Teresa have the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of January 3rd, 2024. Happy New Year, everybody. I'm Tag Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. We would like to thank everyone who supports the show. This week, though, we would like to give a special shout out to Michael F., Connie M., Brooklyn D., Carolyn C. If you would like to help support the show to make sure that we can keep bringing you the latest news and information, discussion, and interviews about Disneyland, head on over to dealweekly.net/support.
Now let's get to the news. Well, a bunch of entertainment is returning for 2024. Mickey's Mixed Magic will return January 8th through March 21st. Wondrous Journeys will run right after from March 22nd through April 14th, followed by Mickey's Mixed Magic again April 15th through April 25th. Together Forever, a Pixar Nighttime Spectacular, will then run from April 26th through August 4th. Magic Happens returns on February 2nd with no end date specified.
I am excited. I'm extra excited that Wondrous Journeys is coming back. I actually, as those of you that have been listening to the podcast, I was kind of on the fence if I was going to like Mickey's Mixed Magic, because the first things that we saw about it, I didn't get it. But when, like, watching a video of it, it didn't make sense. I didn't get it. Like, why it would be, like, popular and fun, I guess is what I mean. Didn't get it. Like, it didn't wow me. But when we were there, and, like, the beat's pumping, and it's just, like, a fun, like, I can't help, like, bouncing and dancing around the whole darn show, and it's just
fun.
So much fun. Like, we've watched it from the back of the park over by Small World, and most people sit down. Well, I, like, have to be in the back of the people sitting down because I need to be standing, because that's how much it, like, makes me feel like I need to, like, dance and bounce around and have fun. So I'm excited that that's coming back. But yeah, Wondrous Journeys is just such a gorgeous, beautiful, beautiful show. I'm very happy to see that that's coming back too. I'm curious with the timing, like why Wondrous Journeys is like, why it's Mickey's Mixed Magic, Wondrous Journeys and the Mickey's Mixed Magic. Like, why it's not just one of them solidly.
Pick a lane. Yeah.
Like that, I mean, that was a little interesting that they're kind of bouncing back and forth, much like I do to Mickey's Mixed Magic. But anyways, yeah, I'm very excited that they're both coming back. I think they're both very wonderful shows for different reasons.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very excited that, of course, Wondrous Journeys is coming back, because I still think that Wondrous Journeys is the second best fireworks show that Disneyland's ever done after Remember Dreams Come True Fireworks Spectacular. Like I said, like you said, and like we reported on already, obviously, it's strange that for like, what, a week, a little over a week, Mickey's Mixed Magic will be there. But I'm glad that they're not just not having something.
Oh, yeah.
So I like that.
I almost wonder, though, if that's because, so in, oh, I think I just figured it out.
Okay.
I had an epiphany. Okay. So I think it's because of the additional special effects, we'll call it. So we have Baymax is part of Wondrous Journeys, mm-hmm. whereas we have the Up House for the Pixar Nighttime Spectacular Together Forever.
Oh, so you're saying give them time.
I think they need time to change that over.
Sure.
Whereas Mickey's Mixed Magic,
look at you,
does not have any additional things.
Look at you.
I think that's it.
Wow.
High five, Teresa. That's my,
you're on a roll tonight.
That's my 2024 prediction, Tag.
Butter her up, people. She's on a roll.
Oh, jeez. But yeah, I'm really excited. You did not get to experience the Together Forever Pixar Nighttime Spectacular. I don't think I did,
yeah.
Because Vern and I went for Pixar Fest.
But I thought it like ran on for a while, didn't it?
I don't remember it running on for a while. It could have, but I don't remember that.
I don't remember either.
But it was sweet. I do think that they had announced that it might not be fully the same show. I believe There was some updates that there was going to be, or some news release that there was going to be updates. The thing I remember the most, don't ask me why this is the thing I remember the most about Together Forever. Oh, two things. This one's super fun to be on Main Street for because they have inflatable characters from Coco that come up on top of the... See, I have seen
this then because I remember the inflatable...
And I think there's inflatable...
Or wasn't that Mickey's Mixed Magic?
Maybe that's Mickey's Mixed Magic.
No, no. No, I did not see these. Sorry, I'm looking at a video on...
Yeah, they had big inflatable... I'm assuming they're inflatable, but big characters from the Land of the Dead come up, and it's very fun. There's a very sad part where it's the incinerator from Toy Story that's like gripping and emotional. But anyways, it's a very fun. It's very fun.
I'm excited to see this. I do feel like Mickey's Mixed Magic and this show, just from the quick clipping through here, they feel similar.
A little bit. This one's got, the Pixar one's got a little bit more of an emotional roller coaster to it because you've got like the sad, it's sad, but also not like just, oh, my heart's sad. It's like sad and kind of like scary sad. Okay. Like I said, the incinerator part from Toy Story is a little like, ooh, like it's
shocking.
A little shocking, scary. Yeah. But I'm excited. I'm very excited. Well, the 2024 Disneyland Half Marathon Weekend Guide has been released. The weekend will run January 11th through 14th and include three races along with yoga inside Disneyland Park. The Run Disney Health and Fitness Expo will be at the Disneyland Hotel Exhibit Hall, which also includes runner check-in. For full details, visit the link, of course, in our show notes.
So I love the fact that they have this yoga, Disneyland yoga with a view of Sleeping Beauty Castle before Disneyland opens. So I wonder what that means. Also, like, even if you're not running the race or whatever, they do have the Run Disney Health and Fitness Expo, which has some booths and stuff to look at, which is also where, like you said, they pick up the bibs and shirts and all of that stuff. But there's some exhibitors and stuff. So that's pretty cool.
I'm not sure I saw these logos before. I don't remember. I definitely do not remember yoga with Goofy. I love yoga, and that's a stretch. No.
But that's a stretch.
That's a stretch with Goofy doing a yoga pose. You've got a really fun 5K mid-century modern-esque design with Pluto running through. Daisy and Donald are doing the 10K. My favorite. What is this? Kid at heart. 100% kid at heart here, because my favorite is the kids races logo, because not only do you have Chip and Dale, but then they have these cute little diamonds that has Sleeping Beauty Castle, the partner statue, and then the Disneyland D in the logo. And then Mickey and Minnie look like they're on a mission in the half marathon.
I thought we reported on this before, because there's something about the mid-century modern look.
Yeah, but I don't remember these specific images.
I know the yoga one is new, because I haven't seen that.
But I don't remember these specifically.
Yeah. But they got a lot of cool stuff going on. Mm-hmm. We do have the race information linked in the show notes. Well, of course, there couldn't be an event at Disneyland without some must-have merchandise. The Disneyland Half Marathon Weekend merchandise includes shirts, jackets, and jackets in multiple styles, ears, bags, and more. Featured on each is the mid-century modern logo for the event. Items will be available at the Disneyland Hotel in the Health and Fitness Expo.
My goodness, they even have ears. I don't think I've seen ears for a... I'm not a Run Disney aficionado by any means, but I don't remember Run Disney race ears before, and these ears are super cute.
I kind of like this shirt and this jacket.
The shirt and the jacket are super fun, too. Water bottles, of course. There's also a water bottle holder. Spirit jersey. Loungefly backpack.
Oh, the water bottle holder,
Yeah. This feels like it's maybe not, but it just feels like there's more merch for this, which I get it. It's a celebration that the Disneyland Half Marathon is back because it has been gone for some time, but it just, it feels like there's a lot more merch than normal, but that's awesome. There's even a specific Magic Key shirt. It looks like there's two shirts. There's a short sleeve shirt and a long sleeve shirt that's specific to Magic. Oh, I think the long sleeve shirt
one is a spirit jersey.
Yeah, it's a spirit jersey, and then it looks like a Wick Light short sleeve shirt.
I kind of like this design though. Like with the coloring and everything?
It's fun. The colors are super fun. It's like a teal and then a bright pink and like a neon green and yellow. Yeah, super fun. I like it a lot.
Wow.
Well, more updates have come to San Francisco in December. New signage for the Baymax meet and greet and commemorative medallion banners have been installed. These smaller additions help give the area a more complete and lived-in look. They're very fun.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a small update, but there's the nice line signage, which, again, Teresa, I know that you're going to comment on the fact that how good they do at making new stuff look old.
I know, it's so good.
But then I was curious what this medallion thing was, and I realized, oh, there's a collectible medallion, like, kiosk there, and they added the banners to go along with that, because the actual, like, medallion itself has been there for a while, but pretty cool. I don't know, this whole area, I did not have like high opinions or hopes of this area when they talked about retheming it, but like I think they've done a good job and they keep adding more to it.
Yeah, they've done an incredible job because it feels like a land. There's just so many layers upon layers upon layers of all sorts of details now in what's in essence a food court. But yeah, the theming, I've been really, really impressed with the theming that has gone into San Francisco.
Yeah. And of course, who doesn't love Baymax and being able to see
I don't think we've talked about this on the podcast. I took a photo, not of where it is, but I took a photo to talk about it on social media and just have not gotten around to that yet, but it will be getting posted. This is so fun. In the shop, the little shop there, there is a hidden Baymax, and we had some magic the first time we went to San Francisco Square. So this was in the fall, and I was just like soaking in all of the details because all of the different like fighting bots from the film are in like hidden in the, I don't know, on top of like displays and stuff. This last time we were there before they even opened, I didn't realize this, but this displays actually like fold up so they look like oversized trunks. So it looks like it's the bot fighters' stuff and like their trunk full of stuff. The theming is just really amazing for this little outdoor shop. But anyways, I noticed a hidden Baymax and I got all excited and like pointed it out to Tag. And one of the cast members came over and they're like, oh, did you find Baymax? I said, yeah, like it's right here. Like, of course, like, Teresa, like they wouldn't have known. Of course, they knew where Baymax was. And they gave me a little sticker. I got a little prize for finding the hidden Baymax. I thought that was so fun and unexpected.
Those little things.
Yes, I got a fun little Baymax sticker. But yeah, I didn't know that. So when you're in San Francisco, make sure you go over to the shop, check out all the details, but also be on the lookout for a hidden Baymax.
Yeah.
Because you just might get a sticker.
It's more of a challenge to find, so be on the lookout.
He's not easy. But yeah, super fun.
Well, the mouthful of Disney parks, experiences, and products has been renamed. Simply, Disney Experiences is the new division name. Disney Experiences still includes Disney Parks, Walt Disney Imagineering, Disney Consumer Products, and more.
I mean, it makes sense. Now that they've shortened it, it's like, oh, yeah. Like, why?
Because like shopping and stuff can be an experience. Yeah. So.
Oh, well, and they've made an experience. We were just talking about theming at San Francisco Square. Just like the fact that that's, again, just all about food. There's a meet and greet there now, sure, but it's not like an immersive experience, like an attraction or themed land. It's just a highly themed food area. But yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I'm sure Josh DeMauro is glad that he can.
Well, it was such a long name.
Doesn't have to take a full breath before having to say, I'm Josh DeMauro.
Or a couple breaths.
Yeah. This is what I do. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of silly now thinking back on, like, I wonder why they decided to say Disney Parks Experiences and Products instead of just Disney Experiences.
It
makes perfect sense.
They kind of have an obsession with long names of things because, like, you know, we talked about Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run and Rise of the Resistance and like all these long names, and like nobody calls any of these things. You know, even Indiana Jones is Indiana Jones and the Temple of the Forbidden Eye, but like nobody calls it that. Everybody calls it Indy, or they call it Rise, or they call it, you know, so it's kind of like that too, I guess.
First-timers to Disneyland now have an official post from Disney with tips to know on your first visit. The tips are part of the Plan Disney podcast and include an overview of the resort, ticket types and reservations, attractions and planning tips, entertainment, food and beverage options, seasonal celebrations, and just tips in general for maximizing the magic.
Now, I didn't know after I started reading this, I realized that they have a written article, but it links to a video of their Plan Disney podcast. So don't stop listening to us to go listen to them. But they do have, actually, it was kind of interesting. Did you have a chance to look at this at all? Because they are in Tomorrowland up on the banister
there.
They're
on the Tomorrowland Terrace.
Yeah. And they actually bring in, which we didn't report on this week, but they bring in the previous ambassadors, which they handed over their ambassadorship to new ambassadors.
Yep. So they're now the former ambassadors.
Yeah. But came on and talked about different things, about maximizing time in the park, how to use mobile order, different ticket types, that kind of thing. So they seem to cover a lot.
This is very much needed because visiting Disney as a non-
Well, you just went through this with trying to tell your family about all this stuff.
Yeah, and they visit frequently. They visit more, I would say they visit more often than like the average vacationing family goes. Because usually, right, the vacationing family goes, like it may be once in a lifetime type of thing. Or once every, I don't know, 5 to 10 years. It's not yearly. My family's been going yearly and they are still even having a hard time staying caught up and remembering all the different things that you need to do with this, that, and the other. They're getting more used to it, but it's just a lot. So I'm going through this right now with one of my coworkers is planning a trip to Walt Disney World. So she's been
asking, a whole other
they're,
beast too.
They're only doing one day in the parks. And so I talked them into staying two nights at the hotel. So that
they're doing one day.
They're doing only one day. Yeah. They're doing just the Magic Kingdom.
Oh, okay.
So I'm trying
to. I thought you were going
to
say all four parks in one day. I'm like, that's not happening.
They're just visiting the Magic Kingdom.
Okay.
And so I'm trying to explain to her what all the different. Thankfully, park reservations is something that they're not going to have to worry about because park reservations for Walt Disney World are going away.
Yeah.
But I'm still trying to explain to her what mobile order is, what Genie is, why you may or may not need Genie, da, 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 all this stuff. And like just having these conversations, like you can just see people's eyes widening, like, why? I thought this is a vacation, like fun and relaxing. It can be, but it's also a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. There's a lot of planning going on, and there's a lot of phone and data usage while you're in the parks too that I think people that aren't familiar with that are kind of surprised at. So long overdue. I'm glad that they're doing
this. Well, did you see that they were talking about making some changes to Genie to allow, I think it might just be Disney World, but I'm not sure, that'll allow you to do Lightning Lane Genie reservations before the day.
That would be good.
And I saw this somewhere today. I think it might have been on that Plan Disney thing that they said that because they want people to not have to be like in their phone the whole time.
Good.
So if you like pre-book a bunch of stuff, then you just have to know when you're supposed to show up instead of like trying to find the stuff.
I think that makes more sense because Disney World pre all of this, when we had FastPass, you could pick, I think it was 3 FastPass things pre-trip, like before your trip, you could like book 3 FastPass things per day. Cause I remember like Fantasmic was one of the things. Mm-hmm. So I remember, and that was free, that was included. Obviously, Genie's different now, but I remember being able to pre-book things.
Yeah.
And I think that's got to take a huge weight off of your shoulders.
Yeah.
So that'd be great if they could bring that to Walt Disney World, especially because I was also chatting with a friend who works at the coffee shop across the street from where I work. She's a big Walt Disney World person and big Disney fan in general. She has not been to Disneyland yet, but man, I think I've convinced her. But anyway, she's going to Walt Disney World, and we were just talking about, like, she's trying to figure out what to do, and she was talking to me about Genie, and I said Genie's hard for me to really have a true opinion on when it comes to if you need it or not, especially for Walt Disney World, because Walt Disney World's just a completely different beast. Disneyland, it's kind of crazy to see. You don't see over hour wait times all too terribly frequently at Disneyland, whereas Walt Disney World, like 2 hours is kind of normal for them for some of their wait times on some of their attractions. So Genie is a little bit more of a need because if you're having to wait 2 hours for every attraction you want to go on, you're not getting a whole lot done. So she and I were kind of going back and forth on that. It's amazing, just even with the different parks, how different these, I don't want to say programs, but how different these things work within the different parks as well.
Yeah. And Disney World, you know, it's one of those things too, where, you know, a lot of people plan these vacations because it's more, it's more of a once in a lifetime thing at Disney World than it is at Disneyland. And so people do want to have those things planned out and have guarantees, because if you're only going to get the one chance, you got to do it. So, well, Magic Key holders have more offerings in 2024. Three offerings are coming and listed in the Extras Unlocked section of the Disneyland mobile app. The first is a Magic Key popcorn bucket, which includes $1.75 refills. A new PhotoPass magic shot will give guests golden Mickey balloons in front of Sleeping Beauty Castle. Finally, a Magic Key dance party magnet, which actually sounds really cool, featuring Daisy, Donald, Huey, Dewey, and Louie with a removable purple frame.
This, I think, I think the magnet is returning. I feel like we had this before.
I didn't remember that you could take the middle part out.
Yep, nope. I think that one's returning. For sure, the popcorn bucket and the magic shot are new, but I think I have a tickle in my brain that the magnet frame is returning.
It's cool though.
It is cool. It's very fun.
What do you think of the popcorn bucket?
Okay. This is going to sound ridiculous because it is just a basic popcorn bucket. It's not shaped like anything fancy. It doesn't light up. It doesn't have a little removable train whistle. It doesn't have all the bells and whistles of popcorn buckets.
Doesn't light up.
Yeah. It doesn't. Yeah. Does it glow in the dark? Doesn't do any of that. It's just a traditional popcorn bucket. But I love the design on this.
I also
thing.
Like the design.
I love it. It's a royal blue background, and it's got different park icons kind of in a lighter blue behind it, but they're not super obvious. So I can see like a Space Mountain silhouette. I see a Jungle Cruise boat. But then in front of that, you've got Sleeping Beauty Castle and like a brighter pig. It's not like a bright pink, but it's just a brighter print, I guess would be a good way of saying it. That's got a gold like halo around it with all sorts of fireworks that are in gold and light blue. And it just looks really nice.
It does look nice. It's definitely,
if we were going to be there, I feel like you would get this popcorn.
$1.75 popcorn refills. Yep. I mean, although when we were there in December, it did seem like the smell of the popcorn was off. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, that's true. But maybe we just kept walking past people that accidentally had burnt the popcorn. I don't know.
Well, it wasn't a burnt smell. It was kind of like it smelled more oily than buttery.
Yeah, it was just different. But still, very cool looking popcorn bucket. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I'm going to bring this up right now because why not? We're talking about Magic Key, Magic Photos. And the one that it's showing is people holding like a bunch of balloons, but it's in front of the castle. They have changed something. I'm not sure exactly when this change took place, but I noticed this last year. I don't remember this in October, because I think October, it was the way it's been forever. When you get your photo in front of the castle with a Disney PhotoPass photographer, they had you centered to the castle. Mm-hmm. They've updated it. They've gotten smart. They've been watching the Instagrammers and all those people, because they have learned, oh no, you don't want to take your photo directly in front of the castle. You want to do it off to the side. So there's two lines now, and this worked brilliantly, I thought. We were there at the end of Magic Key season, right as the holidays were picking up and all the ticketed people were there too. We were there on two completely sold out days. I did not feel the pinch and chaos in front of the castle that normally happens because of all the people waiting to get their photos by the PhotoPass photographers, in addition to all the people taking their own photos, because they had the PhotoPass photographers split. They were on either side of the front of the castle, kind of like where there's like a built-in bench area in the wall. It worked wonderfully, and I bet you those photos look awesome too.
Oh, I'm sure.
I think that brilliant move, whoever made that move for the PhotoPass photographers, brilliant. Well, it's been over a year since a fire broke out at the New Orleans Square train station, and there has been very little progress on the repairs. Construction walls and scrims have been up since the fire, but when the scrims were rolled up, the damage is still easily visible. No word on when progress will be made.
The good news is, recently they've finally been able to put three trains simultaneously back on the track, because we had heard that inside of this building was the switching controls for to automatically switch things and make sure that they know, you know, when the light turns green that there's not another train right in front, that kind of thing. So they must have done something with that. But I don't know what they're going to do with this. However, I was watching David from Fresh Baked.
I was just going to bring that up because I was watching this video too.
Because he was talking about the, because you were saying that they're going to put in this elevator for.
That's what we had been reading was that for the Haunted Mansion, there was going to be an elevator installed. Well, everybody, including us, was assuming that this elevator was going to be installed like on the
exit,
the far side by the exit.
Yeah.
And so which made sense because that's where the shop's going. There's going to be a whole bunch of stuff going on over there anyways. No, I don't remember how David confirmed this, but no, the ADA entrance or exit is going to be the other side. So it's the what used to be entrance. The secret entrance. So when you entered through the crypt, they're reworking that space. And so people, instead of going up the stretching room as they currently do if you're in a wheelchair or need assistance and you're not able to get off at the exit and go up the speed sidewalk thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So if you came down in a scooter or a wheelchair or something, what happens is you get to the unload section, the cast member will direct you to stay on. It will go kind of in a backstagey kind of area where the track continues, and then it will come back to the loading area.
Yep.
So you'll get off at the loading area, which is where all, if you've been there recently, there's parking spots and stuff there.
Yeah.
So you can get on and then you can, the area along the wall is kind of where you can go with your scooter now or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. They have the area it's along the wall, but it's where like, it looks like there's windows and there's a storm happening outside that side of the wall.
Yeah. So you can get back to the elevator without having to go try to go through the onslaught of guests.
Yeah. So basically you go back up the elevator, the stretching room, and then they have you kind of park off to the side, let everybody load into the elevator, which then clears out the foyer area, and then the person exits into the now cleared foyer area and exits the attraction that way. But they're going to simplify that process, and somehow, I don't know if it's an elevator, I don't know exactly I'm questioning everything now because this elevator thing came up. I can't remember if Disney specifically said that there's an elevator or if this is a rumor that just kind of grew and grew and grew.
Sure.
So I don't know if there's actually an elevator that's going to be installed or if they're just reworking that area, but how it will be is the exit will be the crypt area instead.
You know what they could do in that limited space without a lot of effort and probably would be more cost effective for them is, you know, those platforms that people drive onto and it kind of like it's just for like one person instead of having to make a whole elevator. Because didn't you in that room, don't like you walk down and come around?
Yeah, it's like it's a back and forth little.
So if you just have a platform that goes up and down there, that might be more cost effective and better than putting a whole elevator in. Because David was going on this whole thing about that the train might close for part of this because he thought that like that's where the elevator is going and you need to do more work and all this stuff. And I was like, I don't know, it seems like a lot of work. But I don't know. I guess, do you think it makes sense to put the... I mean, because I guess you're not... There's no other way to get your wheelchair and stuff to the exit. So you'd have to come back to the loading area where they've parked all your vehicles.
I think this makes a lot more sense. And honestly, why they haven't done this... just for guest flow, I think it would flow better for those people trying to exit. Because instead of having to try and swim upstream, as it were, because all of the people are coming into the foyer and then trying to get into the stretching rooms, and then you're trying to get back out of the entrance, that can be difficult. Where this is like a separate flow. I just feel like it'd be much easier. Plus, it makes a lot more sense because, right, we're reworking that side of the mansion because that's the queue that's all being reworked and redone anyway. So it makes total sense. So I'm really curious to see how this whole thing unfolds. We were noticing, we saw this when we were there a couple weeks ago, but for those of you that are super crazy fans like ourselves, that maybe check wait times at the attractions in the parks when you're not there, you may have already noticed this, but they have actually updated the image of the Haunted Mansion. They did it while we were there 2 weeks ago. So the image, if you look at the Haunted Mansion, the attraction image has been updated, but Not only that, they have updated how the queue wiggles around in the front. It's not fully what the concept art makes it appear like, but it's different from what it currently is. And the one thing that I noticed that's new that is not currently there is they have a working fountain in the middle of the mansion.
Where Jack Skellington is hanging in the grass.
Jack Skellington is currently, they have a working fountain there. I do believe that there's like something there now. Maybe it's even fountain-esque, but not working. This one was like, had water going from it. Whether or not that's the case, I don't know. I just thought it was kind of an interesting little
I was pulling up thing. The concept art because I was curious if there was any indication of like a path to the side that would get somebody over there, and I don't see one. I just see this covered area, but that's fenced off.
Yeah, I wonder what that is, though.
This? That's the path that people go right now.
No, but like, it jets.
Oh, I don't know. Could be.
I'm very curious how this all unfolds.
Yeah. Well, and then even the exterior stuff here, this doesn't look, I mean, this looks more open, but that's about it.
Yeah, see, there's this now. There's, I don't know, like a planter or like a, maybe like a bird bath looking thing that's in front of the mansion. Like there's a bird bath, like planter looking thing there now. But the app now shows like a fountain with water coming out of it. So I'm curious what if that's anything or if it's just there for decoration on the app.
Well, an unfortunate hoax at the Disneyland Hotel confused and upset guests on December 21st. The Anaheim Police Department received a report of an active shooter at or near the hotel, which caused a, quote, significant police response. A thorough check of the area was done and determined that the report was a hoax.
This is...
Come on, people.
This is upsetting. It's upsetting because, you know, this is a place that people go, you know, to spend happy family quality time, you know, and so playing this kind of a joke specific like of all like
well it's not a joke it's a terrible well, thing
yeah.
but yeah
but the people yeah. that did it you know
think it's play, funny.
Yeah playing thinking that you know I just It's extra. It's upsetting that it happens in general, but for some reason, it's extra upsetting that it happened at Disneyland.
Yes, 100%.
Like it's just that it's a terrible thing in general, but it just feels a lot more like it just feels awful.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's because it's just such a juxtaposition of what Disneyland is, and you know the fact that it's family friendly and happiness and all that stuff. It's just. It really breaks my heart. And I feel very bad for all of those that were involved, law enforcement that had to respond, you know, that responded appropriately for and did not and took this as a real threat and didn't just kind of think it being nothing like it thankfully ended up being. But it's just, yeah, it really breaks my heart.
Yeah. Don't do that, people. It's not funny.
No, it's not. Well, we first spoke with our friends over at Where in the Park back on episode 265. Amanda and Kevin create amazing and fun seek and find scavenger hunt games in theme parks all over the United States, including, of course, Disneyland. Whether you want a challenge at the Disneyland Resort or want to explore a new place like Universal Studios, Knott's Berry Farm, or SeaWorld, there are fun game packs for everyone. Let me tell you, from beginning to expert, Where in the Park is perfect for a first-time visit to experience the small details or notice things that maybe you wouldn't have seen before. Or it's also awesome for super fans like ourselves to notice and see all sorts of crazy different things. So I just want to say real quick, we have played the Where in the Park games at Disneyland and at Knott's Berry Farm. So we went from a park that we're crazy super familiar with that we felt like, ooh, we got
still
this
a challenge.
Still a challenge, a fun challenge though, not an impossible challenge. I was a little nervous about Knott's Berry Farm because it was other than the Boysenberry Festival that we went to when the parks were closed and it was just purely the food festival. I've never been to Knott's Berry Farm. I'm very unfamiliar with that park. It's a whole new world for me. So we decided, why not? We picked up a pack for Knott's Berry Farm. We actually did pretty well. I was pretty impressed with us for being complete newbies in an unfamiliar park. And we found several of, you know, we weren't going out of our way to just play the game. We were kind of playing the game as we were going from thing to thing to thing. And we found quite a few. So it's a ton of fun. Visit the link in our show notes to get started and to check them out, because it is... It's quick, it's easy, it's small. Like, it's just these little...
You don't have to wait in lines or anything. Yeah, it's all publicly accessible stuff.
You can just have a Disneyland day and just go find these things without having to... Yeah, you're not standing in queues trying to find these things. It's not stuff that's hidden that you need to find inside of attractions. It's stuff that you could find just walking from one thing to the next. It's super, super fun.
It is.
Yoo-hoo! Hello, everybody! It's me, Heimlich! Mein stomach is so empty. Hey, help me to go find something to eat. Come on, everybody. Here we go.
All right, everybody. Well, you might have noticed that we've kind of rejiggered some stuff around in our podcast this week, because that's going to be kind of the new order of things going forward. And we're inaugurating a new section of the show called...
Snack Chat,
which was voted on by the community.
It was.
In fact, I think it was even a community suggestion. Mm-hmm. So
name was suggested and voted on by the community.
So what is Snack Chat, Teresa?
So Snack Chat is, well, it's just that. It's the corner that we're going to talk about all of the tasty things that are at Disneyland. This may be anything from highlighting new food guides to talking about maybe lesser known things that are like things that have been there for a while that maybe not everybody knows about that are some of our favorites. It's also going to be about Tag and I experiencing new foods and new eating locations in the park, because we are creatures of habit. And I actually don't remember a trip off the top of my head. I do not remember the last trip that we took that we did not go to the Plaza Inn, because that's just one of our favorites. We have like, which is good. It's good to have favorites, but we also want to kind of expand ourselves a little more and experience more of the dining that Disneyland and DCA has to offer. Mm-hmm. So Snack Chat's kind of a place for all the food stuff.
Yeah. It's also where we have food stories, which is this week's Snack Chat. But in the future, we will definitely go through and try to hit up some things and give kind of like our impressions and reviews and talk about the different food and stuff. Yes. That was also a part of it. Not this week, but we have a lot already for this week.
This has been a long episode. Yes. Can you tell that we took a week off for the holidays and also semi took a week off because we were in the parks and just reported on our park trip? Yeah, there's a lot of news to catch up on.
Yeah.
Well, later this month, Disneyland will be hosting the first of many Sweethearts Nights. Dining package menus and prices have been released by Disney for the event. And they did this last time around, and it was just, they all sounded so good. But there's a couple different locations, the first one being the Carnation Cafe, which, of course, is right on Main Street. Pricing depends on what you order, but an idea of what the menu, it is an a la carte menu. It includes appetizers, corn cheese, which this is cheesy corn dip topped with pork belly served with corn chips.
Interesting.
A French onion soup and fried pickles. Of course, the famous Carnation Cafe fried pickles.
For entrees, they have chili fries. They have a garden tart, which is a corn puree, roasted mushroom, radishes, cipollini, corn, asparagus, watercress, and, oh gosh, I had to pick the one, fleur de sel. Mm-hmm. Crispy mac and cheese with short rib, and then some desserts as well.
We have a brownie a la mode as well as a chocolate decadent tart. The chocolate decadent tart is dark chocolate coffee custard with a chocolate cookie crust.
Cafe Orleans has a 3-course prefix meal for $50 per adult. A regular kids menu will also be available, pricing depending on what's ordered. So the first one is you get a choice of starter, which is a crudité, a raw or pickled garden vegetables, lavish red pepper, citrus hummus, and an onion soup gratiné, which is a beef au jus, shredded beef, and a Gruyere crouton.
Entrees include a short rib cannelloni with potato puree, roasted mushrooms, and truffle jus, a chicken and pork campanelle, which is parsnip preserve, lemon puree, Tuscan kale, and charred corn demi. I wish this article that we have does not have photos. I don't think Disney has released photos yet. I would love to see photos of these things, because just like the words sound delicious, and I'm sure the photos would be like even better. Moving on though, there's a garden lasagna with dried plum tomato, squash, and grated tomato
pasta sauce.
What is a grated tomato pasta sauce?
It's like instead of like chunks of tomato, I would assume.
Maybe I was thinking like. I was going to say like grated Parmesan. I got a little, like I threw myself off there. And then an herbed prawn aglio e olio, which has confit garlic, parsley, and crispy chili oil.
And then you get a choice of one sweet between a chocolate tart and a creme brulee. Mm. And of course, there's a specialty beverage, which is not included on the prefix meal, is a sweetheart love potion, which is a sparkling rosé dusted with edible glitter and topped with fresh raspberries.
Can we talk about this creme brulee for a second?
Yes.
This is not just your run-of-the-mill amazing creme brulee. Mm-hmm. This is a champagne sorbet. It comes with champagne sorbet and citrus fruits.
Sounds good.
I want to try. I didn't even know champagne sorbet was a thing. I need to know. If you try this, please write in and let us know.
Yes, please.
Because Yeah, I'm really interested in this. Well, over at the Plaza Inn, there is also another prefix meal for $45 per adult and $28 per child. There are
Special Lady and the Tramp photo op will also be available.
Plant-based options are available here, plus a Special Lady and the Tramp photo op, as Tag said. So the adult meal, of course, because right, Lady and the Tramp, spaghetti and meatballs plate for two with individual Caesar salads, breadsticks, and individual tiramisu parfaits.
That sounds good.
Choice of beverage as well, which is just a fountain beverage or Dasani water. So that is the meal, is the iconic Lady and the Tramp meal. I love
and
it.
And the kids' meal is very similar. Spaghetti and meatballs, Caesar salad, breadstick, and tiramisu parfait, and a choice of beverage, a small Dasani water, a small low-fat milk. Then we go over to the Riverbell Terrace, which is offering an a la carte menu. Depending on what you order, the prices are different. Appetizers are a crab spread, which is crab, spinach, artichoke, cheese blend, and warm pita bread, and a chicken and waffle cone, which has hot honey glazed chicken. That sounds good. Mm. Mashed potatoes, roasted corn, and a maple glaze.
Entrees include corn ribs with cilantro, crema, spices, and lime, as well as loaded house fries with barbecue brisket, pimento cheese sauce, pickles, and pickled red onion.
And for dessert, they've got a banoffee pudding, which is banana whipped cream and toffee.
Sure.
And, like a banana toffee.
Yes,
okay.
Yep.
And then a Michelada, I love you a lot of Michelada beverage. So that sounds great.
Very
I mean, these
fun.
Sound like, we can't pronounce half the things, but the food sounds good for
they
sure.
They do. They sound really delicious.
All right. Well, cookie num-nums aren't the only warm cookie treat at the resort anymore. Harbor Galley now has a 6-pack of fresh baked chocolate chip cookies for $6.49. The cookies are fresh, warm, and soft, like they just came out of your oven at home. If 6 isn't enough for your group or a very hungry you, there's also a 13-pack for $12.49.
Just saying, the 13-pack is the more economical choice.
Are you getting 13 cookies? They look like they have a lot of chocolate chips in them.
You know what? I would buy the 13-pack and I would
snack on them for a while.
Snack on them for the week or, you know, however long it is. Who was it? I was actually, Gothic Rosie was in the parks. I think she was in the parks around the same time we were there. We may have walked past her and
not even noticed.
And not even known. But she was talking about these and she did get, I think she maybe did try them out to see how they were. Really enjoyed them and actually went back and grabbed another pack to take home to enjoy later. So
ooh.
I'm adding this to my, okay, this is a Disneyland thing that we need to try.
Sure.
List, because who knew? Fresh chocolate chip cookies. Why not? Well, a certain Disney character is experimenting. I'll let you all guess who you think that character is with new snack-based merchandise. If you guess Stitch, you're correct. Stitch Attacks Snacks is a new monthly merchandise series for 2024. Every month, starting January 9th, a themed plush and pin set will be released with different treats featured. January's treat is Disney Eats, February's is pizza, March's Tag's favorite, macaron, and April is lollipops. For the full list, check out the link in our show notes.
Not only
these are cute,
not only with the Stitch things, but there is some just Disney Eats snacks collection. There's a Hawaiian shirt kind of thing with a bunch of Disney treats and snacks
yeah,
on
like
there,
a
like donuts
down.
And mm-hmm. yep. There's a t-shirt that has all those things as well, a spirit jersey, of course.
A lounge fly looking purse.
Yeah.
that looks like popcorn. A pillow
that looks like a Mickey sandwich.
There, yeah, tons and tons of food. These are cute, though. These little Stitch ones are pretty darn cute.
Yeah, so they released a calendar with all of the different options here. And it's interesting because there's a collection for each of them. And so this first one is the Disney Eats Snack Collection, but that includes the churro, the donuts and stuff like that. So it's got multiple things. Yeah, so there's a bunch that they're going to have. They're going to have pizza, macarons, lollipops. They've also got ice cream donut, shaved ice, pineapple swirl, caramel apple, churro, gingerbread, and s'mores.
That makes sense.
So kind of exciting. I don't know. I feel like they took a little bit of time off from when they did the Mickey and Minnie's different collection, monthly collection things, and now they're doing the these snack things. So
I mean, food's an attraction of its own, hence the creation of Snack Chat. So yeah.
Well, I hope you enjoyed our inaugural Snack Chat. More to come in the future. Well, you have heard us talk about our great experiences staying at the Howard Johnson Anaheim. We just experienced another great stay there in December. Well, we have partnered with them to offer our listeners some cool discounts. Weekly Tiers could get 15% off their stay, and Magic Keyholder Weekly Tiers can get 20% off. To take advantage of these discounts, head on over to dlweekly.net and click on the Howard Johnson logo. Be sure to use the promo code on the site to get the discount that you qualify for. They also just notified us, which I've been wondering for a while now, when the last buildings will be renovated, and they do plan on doing that sometime this year. So even more renovated lands, it's going to be awesome.
Your attention, please. DL Weekly Trivia is now leaving for a Grand Circle tour of the Magic Kingdom. With stops at New Orleans Square, Mickey's Toontown, and Tomorrowland. All Weekly Tiers board.
Welcome to Trivia Land, and Happy New Year. How are we feeling about the new year? You think you got some great trivia knowledge, and you're ready, and you feel good?
I'm just saying, it's Trivia Land's a peculiar place. You just never know if you're safe there or not. So I'm always confused walking into Trivia Land.
Okay. I feel, Teresa, we're in a new year, a new us. We got this.
Okay. Tags being positive.
All right.
Turn it over a new leaf.
Well, I was thinking today, as I was doing my language learning app that I do, whenever I get something wrong in that app, at the end of the lesson, it doubles back and it says, here are the ones that you got wrong. Let's do them again.
Oh, no.
And so I thought, with 2023 being over, it would be nice to look back on the ones that you got wrong and give you another chance.
I don't think we have enough time.
This is wonderful, because I told James today in talking about our new podcast scripting stuff that it didn't matter if I saw the questions and answers, because we've had things repeated before and we don't remember them.
I remember so that we've done it before, but I don't necessarily remember what the answer
was. So I feel like that's going to be tonight.
Oh, no. Okay.
So this is going to be a mishmash of some listener submitted and some producer James stuff and some me stuff. And there might be some times that we'll have the same listener again. There's only 11.
Only 11.
And these are all questions that you have been asked sometime in the past 12 months.
Hang on, I need a new piece of paper.
He's just making up for the fact that we were off for a couple weeks or a week.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, 2 weeks. We were off of trivia for...
Oh, well, trivia, yes.
Yeah,
but I
2 weeks of no trivia, so your brains are well rested, and these are all questions you've heard before, and let's see how you
all
do.
All right, I've got a new piece of notebook paper, because I didn't think the partial page I had before was going to...
Okay, well, let's do it.
All right. Your first question from listener Kavehi S. What is the first song sung in Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln?
Of course he picked this one.
It's not the Two Brothers song.
No.
I remember that's what we answered last time.
No, it is not.
Oh, man.
It's also not like...
Is it... Beautiful for Spacious Skies.
No, it wasn't that either. It was something... It was some name of something that we didn't know what it was, and we still don't know what it was. So, Stumped, that's what it was.
I'm
Vern,
going
Stumped.
With the... Why can't I remember what
America the Beautiful?
Yeah, America. I'm going with America the Beautiful.
ATB?
ATB.
And you're going with Stumped?
Stumped.
All right. Your second question from listener Prince Damien. What is the only Disney movie that you enter the castle during the intro? You enter the castle.
Oh. Oh.
Like the intro plays and then you go into the castle?
Yes, you go into the castle and the book's like in the castle.
Is it it's Cinderella?
No, it's newer.
It's newer than the remake of Cinderella?
Oh, you meant the remake of Cinderella.
Yeah, like the live action.
Is it Enchanted?
Oh, it might have been Enchanted. I'm going to say Enchanted. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Or Disenchanted. Is it the new one or is it the old one? I'm going to say Enchanted.
You're saying Enchanted as well?
Yeah. Seems like a movie.
You're saying Enchanted?
Enchanted.
Okay.
Enchanted was a good movie, by the way. Did you like Enchanted?
Oh, it's been a while since I saw it, but yes, it was fun.
Yeah.
All right. Your third question from producer James. There's a hidden reference in plain sight at Big Thunder Mountain's entrance. There you will find a notice signed by Willard P. Bounds, U.S. Marshal. Who is this a tribute to?
I remember this one.
Who is it a tribute to?
Walt's father-in-law. It's Lillian's dad.
Oh. You sure?
I'm pretty sure.
No.
You're making me question myself.
You know what I think we should do a trivia from now on, and maybe this is because I've been so bad at it, is that we should just try together to get the right answer.
What do you mean try together? That's what we usually do.
No, but I mean, right, yeah, yeah. So
I'm going to take you off of Enchanted since we're not working together. Sir.
No. I'll go with Lillian's father, too.
Oh, well.
Teresa's definitely.
For the not working together.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness.
All right, so you're saying that it's Lillian's father?
Yes.
All right.
Or Walt's father-in-law, however you want to say it.
Yeah.
Okay. Your fourth question from listener Brooke A. In 1985, which promotional float in the Main Street Electrical Parade was destroyed by a fire?
We just had this one. And I was thinking it was like Pinocchio, but it wasn't. It was like one that we were like, that was a parade float?
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't remember it being a float.
Do you remember what it was?
No. I don't.
Was it like, it was something that...
Was it like, was it, what's the, like, the Mother Goose story? Wasn't there like a Mother Goose something or other?
What?
Like the Mother Goose story. Is that what it's called? Mother Goose?
Was it Grimm's Tales or whatever?
No.
No.
I think it was something like with Mother Goose.
Something with Mother Goose?
Yeah.
See, I don't know. I think it was something like what came out. Can you repeat the question one more time, Vern?
In 1985, which promotional float in the Main Street Electrical Parade was destroyed by a fire?
85.
Okay, so maybe Mother Goose is not.
Well, it was the Disneyland 30th. I don't know. I'm going to say the Disneyland 30th anniversary promotional float. Because it would have been the 30th anniversary. But I think it was like...
I don't
know. Yeah, I don't know. That's the best I got. We're not doing too hot, Teresa.
I don't know. I was feeling pretty good until now.
Sure.
So no answer?
What?
Or
were you not listening to us at all?
You're saying Mother Goose?
She's saying Mother Goose, and I'm saying something with the 30th anniversary of Disneyland.
Okay.
See, this is why I told James not to worry about it, because like a goldfish, like whoop, whoop.
All right. Your fifth question from listener Cooper C. In 2010, 60 MLB All-Stars made their way down Main Street before the 2010 All-Star Game in Angel Stadium. What MLB All-Star served as the Grand Marshal?
Oh, no. I remember I said Mark McGwire because I was the only baseball player.
I think it was somebody we didn't know.
Like, from that time. Yeah, I don't know. Like, how I can remember what my answer was, but I don't remember what the
answer maybe
was.
Maybe I said, like, Jose Canseco or something.
I don't know.
That was, like, another person.
I do
person.
Not know sports.
I'm just going to repeat
whatsoever.
Jose Canseco because I know it's wrong. Because I didn't recognize the name because I don't know much about baseball.
Okay, my answer's stumped.
Okay, Jose Canseco and stumped. Your sixth question from listener Tara F. How many languages are represented in the Coke Corner displays?
Oh.
And can you name all of them?
No. These Coke Corner ones.
You know what's funny is we even on this last trip, I even stopped and looked at it.
Yeah, but like we paused. We didn't study it.
I looked at the letter that was on the table of the plate
that's right.
or whatever.
We were looking at the saying.
Because it was the good to the last drop.
Yeah.
So if that's one of the questions, Vern, we already got it. Good to the last drop.
How many
languages? I don't know. Five. I'm going to say five, but I can't name any of them.
I was going to say three. English.
I mean, if you're going to get a partial point, I suppose put me down for English, too.
English.
Spanish. I feel like that's common enough, right?
I don't remember if there was one, and I don't know if it was Chinese or if it was Japanese. And then I feel like there was like Indian. I could be wrong. I probably am wrong. Remember I was saying how it'd be like cool if there was a bottle from each place that there was a park.
Yeah.
The Coke Corner, we've learned time and time again that the Coke Corner display has nothing to do with like there's
almost
no
anything.
Like yeah there's like it's its own little separate museum. It really doesn't tie in too much to Disney and the parks.
So I think we're gonna stop there, Vern.
Okay.
You only have English and Spanish.
Yeah.
Okay.
Alrighty. Question number 7 from listener Robert S. Do you know what Mickey's middle name is?
Oh no.
I love your look.
Yes, because it was going to be his first name.
No, that's Donald Duck. Fauntleroy.
Fauntleroy. Yes.
Fauntleroy.
Is Donald Duck.
It's not Mortimer.
No.
Is it?
No, Mortimer was a different mouse.
Well, that was what Mickey's name was before it was Mickey, remember? Because Lillian was like, that's a terrible name.
Then, okay, Mortimer then.
Okay. Which,
Yeah, you're right. You're
the original Steamboat Willie Mickey Mouse is now in the public domain as of a couple days ago.
He's, yeah. I think I was looking, sidetrack. I was looking at, I don't think I ever saw like what the original. When I think Steamboat Willie, I think like the cartoon.
Yeah.
With the synchronized sound. But there was like shorts that he was a little bit more, he didn't look like that. He looked a little bit more like. Like his ears looked a little more elongated.
What's the vacuum cleaner?
Or something. Like he looked different than what I
So he
was
looked
expecting.
Between what we know as Mickey Mouse and Oswald.
Yeah, let me see if I can.
Anyway, so Mortimer, Vern, is what we're going with.
Mortimer. All right, final answer.
Yes.
All righty. And question number 8 from producer James. Michelle Pfeiffer was a cast member. What role did she play?
Crap. Do you remember what role she played?
I feel like she was a character, but I don't remember if she was a princess or if she was a villain.
Oh, wasn't she like, I'm going to say.
Maybe she was neither. Dun, dun, dun.
I don't know. I'm going to say she was the evil queen, because why not? What are you saying, Teresa?
How specific do we need to be?
It's a pretty specific character.
Okay. Okay, so it is a character. He said it's a pretty specific character. Was she Maleficent?
Oh, Maleficent. Crap. Now, I don't know if I want to change to Maleficent or stay with the Evil Queen. You didn't write down that, so I will say, oh, crap. Yeah, I'll say Maleficent.
Oh, it was probably the Evil Queen. What did I see? Maybe it was not real what I saw, because I cannot find the thing that I saw about Steamboat Willie and like how he looked just different than
anyway,
like the classic.
Sure. All right, Vern, what do you got next?
He's whistling the Steamboat Willie song.
Did Teresa answer who Michelle Pfeiffer was?
Yeah, I said Maleficent.
Oh, you're saying Maleficent also. Okay. I thought you were just trying to gaslight Tag.
She might have been Cruella, but no. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Question number 9 from listener Michelle M. What attraction is in both Disneyland and in the Magic Kingdom, but is spelled differently in each park?
What attractions in both?
But spelled differently.
So it's in both parks.
It's in the Magic Kingdom.
Spelled differently.
Like Magic Kingdom Park.
Magic Kingdom and Disneyland.
Disneyland Park.
But they spell it differently in each park. It's pretty much the identical attraction. It's in both parks, but the spelling is different. You know which park you're in by the spelling.
Oh.
The spelling, not the actual, like,
I could blindfold you, take you to the attraction, take the blindfold off, and just by the spelling of the attraction, you know exactly where you are.
Is it attraction like ride or attraction like it could be a show or something else?
It's a ride.
Okay, let's think. Jungle Cruise? No. Tiki Room? No. Splash?
It's not Pirates of the Caribbean.
Thunder? Pirates?
Space Mountain?
Haunted Mansion? Space Mountain? Okay.
Dumbo.
Oh, the carousel.
Oh, King Arthur's Carousel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the carousel.
I don't know if I would have known. I mean, yeah.
Is that your final answer?
Yes, yeah. The carousel.
And
in fact, I'm not even confident that it's King Arthur's in Disneyland, but is it King Arthur's in Walt Disney World, or is it somebody else's?
Just carousel.
Yep, that's why I'm going with carousel.
Okay. And tag your
carousel.
Hitching your fiberglass horse to that?
Yes.
Hitching your fiberglass horse.
I certainly will.
All right. And your 10th and second to last question of tonight from My Photos. In Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railroad Queue, there's a condiment stand where you can see many choices, including ketchup, catsup, your cheese, nacho cheese, barbecue sauce, mayonnaise, parentheses secret sauce, relish, extra hot sauce, and what very not traditional, I'm not even sure it's a sauce.
It's like haggish or something like that.
Haggish? Like haggis, but what do you...
Trying to read his face to see if he's got a smirk or something.
Don't cheat.
I'm not cheating. I already said it out loud.
Yeah, because the only thing I ever think about in that whole queue is I think about the popcorn. I think about the Laugh-O-Gram, something or other.
It's a white thing.
And I think about the hot sauce like melting down the counter that looks like chocolate or whatever.
Oh, the like molten lava stuff?
Yeah.
It's like haggish.
I'll go with haggish because that sounds good. Moving on. Otherwise, we're going to have an entire episode of just trivia.
And that's your final answer, haggish?
Yeah.
No.
Haggish.
I don't know.
Okay. Final answer.
Hag something, but ish is probably wrong.
I don't know.
Okay. And your final question for tonight in our 2023 Wrong Answer Year in Review, submitted by listener Finn C. Disneyland has many dedication windows on Main Street. There are also some other places in the park. In Frontierland, there is such a window. Can you name the fictional business and the person it is dedicated to?
Shoot.
By the way, shout out to Finn. This is the guy we met at Walt's Barn.
Oh. I remember this. We were thinking it was Tony Baxter. It's not Tony Baxter.
It's not Tony Baxter.
That's what we answered with.
I thought you had the answer. I thought I said that, and then you're like, no, I think it's so-and-so, and I thought you were right. But I guess we didn't get it right.
Who's the
Ray Bradbury with the tree?
Not Ray Bradbury. Who's the?
Use your words.
I've lost them, Tag. That's why I'm.
Paint me a picture.
Struggling. He was there opening day of Disneyland.
Okay.
He was like Western.
Oh yeah,
guy.
Yeah, Davy Crockett. It was the guy who plays Davy Crockett.
Yes.
It's.
That guy.
Hold on. It's in my brain.
Use your words, Tag.
I said Davy Crockett.
Yeah, no, I know. That him.
Fess Parker.
Yes. Fess Parker.
What's the store? Or what's the...
Is it
probably Coonskin Caps. I don't know.
Oh, what's the fictitious store? Yeah, probably something about Coonskin
Caps. Something with Coonskin Caps, maybe. But it's Fess Parker. Look at that. Teamwork.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
Something about Coonskin Caps and Fess Parker?
Fess Parker. Fess is two S's.
All right. Well, listeners,
you know, nobody would have known I spelled that wrong until you called me out. Sorry.
Well, listeners, how do you think they did? How did you do listening at home? Stick around until after the discussion topic and we will all find out together.
So for this week's discussion topic, since we did have such a long news section, we added Snack Chat, plus we had an extended stay over in Trivialand this week.
We did.
The discussion topic's probably going to be a little
truncated.
Shorter. Yeah, a little shorter. But we wanted to talk quickly since, right, this is the first episode of the new year. We just kind of want to talk about what some of our thoughts and predictions are for the coming year as far as what we think's going on in the parks, maybe what we think might be happening with the company itself, all that sort of fun stuff. So I think to kick things off, since we already started talking about this a little bit ahead of time, what do you think's going on with the Haunted Mansion? There's a lot of noise, a lot of whispers that the Haunted Mansion, once it closes for...
To remove the holiday overlay,
it will not be coming back as the OG Haunted Mansion. We won't see the mansion again, potentially, until the end of the year with the holiday overlay again. So really, OG Haunted Mansion is not coming back until 2025. What are your thoughts on that?
I agree. I don't think it's coming back. I think that they will keep it. I think that they will do whatever renovation and stuff that they need to do. They're going to do this queue expansion. They're going to add this elevator we were talking about. So all of these different things. So I think to give them enough time, plus we've seen how glacially slow they move at some of these things, I don't think it's going to come back until next Halloween season, which starts mid-August this time. Mm-hmm. Now, what I do think they might do is they might reopen it earlier than mid-August, but it's still going to be Haunted Mansion Holiday, because I just don't see why they would open it for a limited amount of time and then, you know, this isn't Mickey's Mixed Magic in between all this stuff.
Where it's just back for a week. Yeah. See, this one's a really hard one for me simply because of the thing that we're probably also going to touch on with our 2024 predictions, Tiana's Bayou Adventure. To have the mansion down while Tiana's Bayou Adventure is still going on.
Seems, still under construction, you mean?
Yes, is still being worked on.
Well, that's why they're adding Genie Plus to Pirates. We didn't talk about that in the news today either, but that's coming.
But, like, that just seems, even if you add Genie Plus to Pirates, that's, like, a Band-Aid on...
Yeah?
On, like, nothing.
We got,
like,
the Adventureland Treehouse now.
But you know what I mean? Like, it's just really wild to me to take two very popular attractions, especially the Haunted Mansion, which is such a people eater, and have both of them not operating for guests for that period of time. I'm having a hard time with it. All signs are pointing to the mansion is closing. They will be doing this work.
They have some entertainment. They have to put something in the Hyperion. They've got to put something at the Fantasyland Theater. They've got to do something that's going to eat people up
You've got a no pun intended, since we're talking about the Haunted Mansion. You've got a dead corner of the park. Poor Winnie the Pooh and his friends. Nobody's going to remember that they're even back there.
Right.
Because,
But what do you do? They're not going to wait until Tiana's Bayou Adventure reopens.
Unpopular opinion here. Okay. I'm probably wrong.
Okay.
But I'm almost wondering, how long is this really going to take? I was trying to remember how long it took for them to tear up and put down the artificial grass. Because that's like the last bit. And like when they were doing Project Pixie Dust and they shaved down the planters in front of the mansion. I was trying to remember how long that took, because I feel like I don't think they can have it down all year. As much as I think timeline wise, construction, like you said, glacial construction pace timeline, it probably will be. I'm just trying to think operation wise, how can you do that? So I'm truly wondering if they're maybe going to be able to do a chunk of work.
You've got park reservations now that you could ratchet down.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm almost wondering if they're going to do a chunk of work, still make it manageable that you can still use the mansion while they're finishing up work. Mm. So I kind of think it might, I don't want to say it's done in phases, but kind of. Like there's a phase in the beginning where, ride shut down. They have to do kind of the big extensive stuff. I'm almost wondering, because you can almost use part of Tiana's Bayou Adventure's beginning of the queue, you could almost use that as a mansion. I don't know. This, like I said, this is completely, could be completely, completely wrong. The exit will be, I don't know if you're exiting into the gift shop or if you're exiting next to the gift shop, because another thing.
It looked next to.
Yeah, it looks next to, but you know how concept art could be. So part of me is really wondering if, because I don't feel like the front lawn of the mansion is changing too terribly much. It's the side and the back part. So could you still do something where people enter through the front? Maybe it's timed reservations only, where you have a virtual queue only, so they don't have a long standby. But I just really feel like it can't be down the full time. Like I said, probably unpopular opinion by Teresa.
But I mean, I feel like logistically you probably could make some argument to try to get it open, but I just don't think that's what's going to happen.
Mm.
I hope for everybody's sake that you're
time
right.
Time will tell.
But yeah.
I'm just curious because like I said, operations-wise, it's hard to think.
Do you think Tiana's BioAdventure is going to open in 2024?
No, I think it's going to be 2025.
When? Summer?
Spring, summer of 2025.
So you think it's going to slip?
Yep.
Hmm. Because we've heard rumors that they've done a ton of work on the inside, like that we can't see, obviously. And they are moving pretty quick on the outside.
It
would definitely be like late November, early December, if it's going to hit 2024, though. But I feel like they've pumped this up so much, and they've already done so much work.
I feel like Walt Disney World's doesn't... like Walt Disney
World. Have
World's
you seen still, Walt Disney World's recently? It's, David from Fresh Break showed... either he showed concept or I Googled concept while he was watching the video. But the outside's looking pretty decent. Have you seen it?
They installed... see, we don't have our water tower yet. They installed their water tower there a while ago, but they're just redoing... I mean, I don't know. I feel they just installed a bunch of metal, like they're rebuilding stuff, and there's like metal support stuff that they just, there's still quite a lot of, it still feels like it's got a long ways to go.
What do you think that they brought all that steel? And it looks like they're going to like build up
a steelwork.
What do you think is up with that?
I don't know. But that's why it felt like they were making a good pace on it, but then they threw us for a loop, and there's all these extra steel beams that they're installing.
By the way, this like
places that weren't there,
pathway and like queue groundwork at Magic Kingdom. I hope we get something like this because this looks amazing.
It does look neat.
This is just like some of the walkways where people just had stuff. I don't know, it looks really good because I was just looking because they
like
had...
I just feel like it's gonna be longer.
I mean, yes, but I feel like Disney just doesn't want to push it off as much as possible. They added a ton of like foliage on the outside.
Yeah,
look at that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think at Disney World, it's definitely going to open.
Oh, Disney World for sure will be 2024. But I'm not as confident about Disneyland. I'm feeling like Disneyland will be, like you said, December, but if we may be pushing into the first part of next year. So since we're still on that side of the park,
sure.
Fantasmic. That would be another thing we get to talk about for 2024 predictions.
Yes.
So we know it's coming back in May. We know Peter Pan is coming back.
I'm so happy about Peter
Pan. Because they announced that Peter Pan is coming back, I am very, very hopeful and really hope we see some other physical characters come back, like TikTok the crocodile. That would make sense to come back with Peter Pan, but
maybe
I would also like to see Flotsam and Jetsam come back for the Ursula scene. I don't have as high of hopes for Flotsam and Jetsam coming back, but I'm holding out hope for TikTok. Don't ask me why that's like the most exciting part of the Peter Pan thing. I just love the having the physical characters over having the screens.
Well, it's way cooler when Captain Hook is like flying behind the boat and TikTok is there.
Yeah.
Now, I will say that I am looking forward, this is only tangentially related, I am looking forward to it. It feels like to me like they've basically rebuilt the Mark Twain.
Yeah.
Because they've redone like every part of the boat. So I'm really excited to see what that looks like when it comes out from refurbishment, which obviously is going to be part of Fantasmic as well. So I'm very excited about that. I'm hoping beyond hope that whatever they decide to replace the finale, since Murphy's not there, whatever they decide to do there, I hope that it's cool. And I am holding out hope because I feel like every time we've doubted Disney recently.
Yeah.
They've done a good job. So I'm going to say, please don't let this be the first thing that they screw up in a while.
I'm...
It won't be as cool as the dragon and all of that.
My prediction, my thought is whatever we see come back in 2024 for the finale to replace the scene with our dearly departed Murphy, I really at my core feel like this is a temporary thing and we will have something, maybe not exactly Murphy. It won't, maybe it's not going to be Murphy 2.0, but we will have some epic thing come back, because I'm sorry, Murphy was just like, that's
too
the
good.
Coolest part about that show. There's still a dragon in the Walt Disney World, albeit not as cool of a dragon, but there is a dragon in the Walt Disney World show. That's just like part of the DNA of that show, to have a dragon present, a physical dragon present, not just a projected dragon. And it's going to take time. I still am not convinced that Murphy has left the building, we're going to say. I really don't think, I don't know if that's taken place or not, because can you imagine, how are you deconstructing that and like piecing, you know,
that's
taking
true.
It out part by part by part. I'm not convinced that Murphy's,
because the last time we saw stuff, there was still like, they just got it to go down and
barely
close.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're right. We never had a time where they were like taking pieces off.
Yeah. So I think it's going to take some time for them to bring Murphy to her final resting place. But then you also then have time to rebuild whatever it is you're going to do. And May is too quick of a turnaround for that.
What year did Murphy show up?
You and I were friends.
Was it like 2012?
I was thinking like 8 or 9 for some reason.
I mean, it could have been. First appearance, 2009.
Woo! Good job, Teresa!
Yeah. So my question is, in the 2008-2009 time frame, do we remember them bringing pieces in to begin? Like,
I'm sure not.
But they could have taken stuff out then, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So there are two things, since we're talking about spectaculars.
But I think it's a little more difficult when it's
a
dragon
damaged.
That you're having damaged. To kind of, damage. That's a good way of saying it. I feel very sensitive talking about Murphy.
Damaged.
I do.
Damaged.
That's a good way to say it.
But he's got a little boo-boo. Yeah. In this article that I linked to that has everything new coming to Disney Parks that we'll link in the show notes, they have a couple things coming to Paris that I think Paris is leading the way on the future of Disney entertainment. Did you see these? First of all, there's something called the Disney Electrical Sky Parade is coming. And it looks like the electrical parade in the sky. Did you see that it's got
It's
electrical parade-esque music. And they're going to put like drones, like, oh my gosh. But then they also have a parade called A Million Splashes of... Not the Million Special Colors. That's not the one I'm talking about. That is a new parade coming there. But they have a Christmas parade that is really cool. I'm trying to find the link because it was so neat when I looked at it. I was like, what is this? Anyway, it is a parade that looks good during the day, but then it lights up at night. So it's a daytime and nighttime parade.
Kind of like Magic Happens.
No, it's better than Magic Happens. I read the description and then I went and found a video on YouTube of it, because it's their Christmas parade. Or it might even be in Tokyo. But anyway, what it is it looks like a normal parade floats during the day. Yeah. Like there's some lights and stuff, but like nothing crazy. Mm-hmm. But at night, the way they've constructed it is like almost all everything like glows. It looks almost paint the night like.
Wow.
But it's the same parade day and night, but it looks so different between day and night. So I'm like, can we have that? Because we've talked about for a long time, or at least I've talked about, that Disneyland should have a daytime parade and a nighttime parade.
100%.
Now, if they're only gonna have one parade, if they did something like this, that'd be super cool. Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's the best of both worlds, to have like a parade that can fill both of those spaces, because A, the crazy Disney fans like us are going to want to experience both versions of it, but B, again, operations-wise, that just makes a whole heck of a lot more sense, because you only have one cast of performers, one, I don't know, parade's worth of floats to have to store and figure out what you're doing with it when the parade's not on stage. It just makes a way more sense. So I feel like drones will be coming. I think they're going to come to Walt Disney World before they come to Disneyland, though, just because Disney World has its gargantuan bubble.
Yeah.
Whereas we've got the city of Anaheim right outside the gates. So there's, you know, other things to have to consider with Disneyland that you don't have to consider at the other parks.
Disney Live Entertainment Parades' Spectaculars executive Steve Davison, who brought us wonderful Spectaculars, spoke about Disney Imagineering's already present and growing interest in drones at Disney parks, stating drones are the next thing.
100%. 100% they are.
Yeah. So very, very excited. I wish they would bring something like this to...
So what does this have to do with your predictions? Are you
predicting? I'm saying that I wish they would bring something like this in the future, because we were talking about Spectaculars with Fantasmic.
Gotcha.
So linked in the article that I was looking at, I was remembering that I saw this today and I was surprised. It also got me thinking, I'm a little off topic, but it got me thinking that Disney is one company, right? Mm-hmm. And so we always think about, like, why haven't they brought a new parade to Disneyland? Why haven't they done this or done that? And then I realized, like, these things that I've seen in other parks, Disney has created those. Yeah. So they're creating stuff all the time. Just because it hasn't come to our park yet doesn't mean that they're not doing stuff. I just wish that they would bring some of these things to our park.
Yeah,
Because
it'll come. Yeah. Like I said, I think it's just different rules, regulations, and then just space, because like I said, you've got the ginormous bubble that is Walt Disney World versus the like tiny little space that Disneyland is kind of in. So back to 2024 predictions. You never finished your thoughts on Fantasmic.
No, I said that I hope they bring something good.
That's a poor prediction, sir.
Well, no, I mean, I don't know what they're gonna do. I feel like,
do you think it's okay? Well, be, like me, do you think it's gonna be the permanent thing? Do you think it's gonna?
It's
be
not gonna be permanent.
Thing?
I think it's gonna be a more than temporary, but not permanent thing. Like, I think it's gonna take a few years.
Yeah, it's gonna be a,
and it'll be what we're stuck with for a few years. But I do think that they are planning ultimately to do something different.
Yeah,
but it'll be a while. Unfortunately.
And by ultimately something different, do you think
I think that they will have that show? Just the scene. I think they got feedback from people, obviously, that they liked Peter Pan and they liked a lot of the more original stuff. So they're going to bring Peter Pan back. I think that whatever they do for the finale will be good enough because people are like, this is fine, but we expect something more. And so I think in the next 5 years... closer to 5 years, less closer to now, that they will have another animatronic dragon like we had before. Now, it may not spit fire the way the old one did, because I feel like they're kind of shy and whatever. Or it'll have really good fire suppression things built into it. But I think they'll do something. I don't know what that necessarily looks like, but I feel like that's such a spectacle and that's so iconic for that show that I feel like you can't just not have it. It's in all the graphics for Fantasmic. All the merch had a dragon on. So I think that like they know something has to come back for that. Yeah. I just don't know what it'll be, but I think it'll be short term.
Do you think they're going to take this opportunity to maybe update any of the other scenes? We know that
they just did not that long ago.
But I'm talking like the snake, like Ka the snake. Do you think? I feel like that has been what it has been forever and ever and ever.
I don't think so. I think they've already told us what they were going to do. I think they're going to bring back Peter Pan. They're spending a lot of money on that. They're going
to... I don't know how much money they'd have to spend on Peter Pan, because it was basically the same...
Yeah.
Basically the same choreography, just different lighting
costumes,
effects, different music costumes.
Yeah.
But I don't think cost-wise it'd be huge.
Okay, well, they're bringing that back. If they're going to refurbish TikTok or something, that's some cost.
Yeah.
But I think that they don't want to do too much with the show, because I think that what's going to ultimately happen is that they're going to take that money and save it up into the finale with whatever they're going to do with that.
I was trying to think, because it was a little surprising to me at first that they were bringing Peter Pan back, right? Because we took, like, we moved away from that. So it's surprising that they
I think people.
But it had also been a while. Like, there was a hubbub about it. But then that kind of subsided. But also,
they need a win, Teresa.
But also, I think the people that were loud about it, myself and you included, were probably in, let's face it, the minority of the people actually watching it. But this is the other thing I was thinking. What other IP could you use with a ship? Treasure Planet is the only thing that comes to mind, which is not as beloved as
Little Mermaid. You could put Little Mermaid. It could be Eric's ship or something. I mean, it's not your
choreography and all that stuff, though. You know, like the stunts and all that, because that's what makes that scene so cool. It's not necessarily the characters are great, but it's the showmanship and the stunts on the scene. Like I said, I can't think of anything else that you really. It's just those two. When they did shift from Peter Pan to pirates, like. It, as much as we loved Peter Pan, it made sense.
Yeah.
That shift made sense.
Well, Pirates was really still popular at that point. Yeah.
Yep.
Now, so I feel like we've spent a lot of time on Fantasmic, so I want to ask you about the holiday season. Do you think we're going to see snow before before?
Nope. I think my prediction is there's going to be a cutoff. There's going to be Halloween. And then after Halloween, we will see the snow start to fall on Sleeping Beauty's castle. I do not think the holidays will be colliding anymore. And I am very excited about
that. I'm very excited, too. I saw some comments online that people were very unhappy with the fact that that means, because blockout dates come that much quicker, that they're only going to have a couple weeks to be able to experience Christmas if you're depending on your pass level.
I'm saying this now, and I'm hoping maybe somebody from Disney is listening. If we are to have snow falling on Sleeping Beauty's castle prior to October 31st, I need some sort of Haunted Mansion tie-in with the castle. Either Jack's sleigh needs to be involved with that, something to still bring it back to a Halloween theme. You have the perfect IP to kind of mesh the two things together so you can get things set for Christmas ahead of time, because it does take time to put all that stuff, to install all of that stuff.
Have we ever...
They could have Jack Skellington's sleigh on the castle or something like that.
Have we ever had a conversation about your opinion on Haunted Mansion Holiday starting at the end of August, or like the length that it is not the classic version of the Haunted Mansion?
I'm more concerned about not having classic at all. I have a hard time when it comes to the two, because I love them both equally. If they could both exist in the same park, I would...
People love them a lot.
Experience both of those attractions in the same day and not feel like I was doing the same thing twice. I don't know. There's just... There's something different. They're different enough to me that I can't compare them, if that makes sense.
Sure.
I will say, during the holidays, the thing I miss the most about the OG Haunted Mansion is the hitchhiking ghost. It makes me so sad coming around the corner. I mean, Oogie Boogie's very cool, don't get me wrong, but I just love the hitchhiking
ghost. Wouldn't it be cool if they could have, like, Oogie Boogie, like, talking to the hitchhiking ghost or something?
Yeah.
Or some crossover or something. Or they should do like they did that one time where you went and they had them, like, somewhere for a photo op or something.
Oh, that's for the Happy Haunts tour.
That'd be cool, though.
For a photo op.
That would be cool, though.
That tour with the Disney tour guides, but yeah.
I'm trying to think what else is happening this year. So Pixar...
Okay, we're back on to holidays. Do you think, because you were just talking about another park getting an updated holiday parade, what do you think about Christmas Fantasy? Do you think
going anywhere for a while.
You don't think they're going to update that?
No. No, I wish they would, but I don't think they're going to. And if they did, they should do like the Christmas one that I saw that was a good nighttime and daytime one that's totally different. Because think about it. You get double your bang for your buck with that, because the parade basically looks different. Now, the one thing that's a little weird, because you know how like people said that one of the things with Paint the Night is the costumes and like they get hot and all this. Mm-hmm. Some of the costumes in that parade that light up looked very reminiscent of the types of costumes that they had in Paint the Night. So I'm like, maybe they figured it out. They just need to, maybe the two parks just need to talk to each other and get some things fixed. No, I don't think that they're going to do that. I think what I do think that they maybe should update is, I mean, they kind of have updated it, but I think they need to replace it with a new show, is a new fireworks show for the holidays.
Sure.
Like, I don't know. I kind of, back when they came out with Believe in Holiday Magic, they had Believe There's Magic in the Stars fireworks. So it was like they were complimentary. Mm. Wouldn't it be cool to have like a Wondrous Journeys holiday version or something? Yeah, like
walking in a wondrous winter wonderland or something.
I don't know. But like, I like Wondrous so much that I want them to like take that kind of storytelling and put it with... Because there's plenty of Disney Christmas things they could do. They could put Muppets finally into a show because they have Muppet Christmas Carol. Like, wouldn't that be cool to have like Gonzo come out and like narrate Christmas or something? I don't know. I think it could be cool.
You have a perfect synergy in Toontown now, because one of my favorite Disney holiday movies growing up was Pluto's Christmas Tree. And for those of you that haven't seen it, you have seen it sort of if you've been in Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, because they have like a set from that. That could be part of the Christmas, whatever they do for the new Christmas show. It's such a cute movie. Basically, Mickey and Pluto go and get their tree. Well, when they bring the tree inside, little known to them, Chip and Dale, that was like the tree that they were living in. So then they get brought into the house, and then they kind of, well, they're Chip and Dale. So they're just mischievous, and Pluto's trying to like not let them break all the ornaments and wreck all the stuff. So Pluto's like chasing around and making it worse, of course. But anyway, it's cute. I didn't realize that it was this much of a classic. It was from 1952. But yeah, I would watch this movie on I would watch this little short movie on repeat. Super, super cute. Yeah. Anyways, not too many predictions, but a few predictions, mainly on our favorite part of the park, the Adventureland
Spectaculars
park.
And yeah, that side.
I am really looking. One thing that's not Disneyland related that I'm really, really, really looking forward to and very interested to see, D23 is this year, and they're doing things way differently. So not only do we have the gargantuan expo hall that's like, I'm never going to forget the first time that we did D23 and we were, I don't know, more than halfway through and realized that there was a whole other half of the building that we didn't even know existed, because this space is just so massive and there's just so much to see and do. Not only do they have that space, but they're also using one of the Honda Center down the street. They're going to use the Honda Center for all like the big like mega panel. So I'm thinking things like the Disney Legends ceremony is going to be held there. I'm thinking the Parks panel
definitely
held there. Maybe like the Marvel and the Star Wars big panels will be held there as well. So like the big, everybody's really excited to see. So not only will they be able to seat way more people because it's a way bigger space, but it's also a physically bigger stage. So I think they're going to be able to do a lot of really, really cool things
I'm
that they weren't able to do.
That they can just not have that giant hall that people have to wait in for so long.
Well, yeah, and that's the other thing too, is this is a place that's set up for, you know, there's gonna like it's a stadium. Do you know what stadiums have?
They have
rows and seat numbers. So you could just be assigned seats and you wouldn't have to have the chaos of people camping out overnight to wait to hope to get in to get a good spot and all that stuff. I don't know if they're going to do this, but they have the ability to think of it like a concert or something. Yeah. You can go in and reserve your seat kind of thing.
That's true.
So I'm really curious to see how that whole thing unfolds. But yeah, daytime stuff will still be at the Expo Center or the Convention Center. And then at nighttime, they're going to have these other events going on as well. The big panel events going on as well, which for us that have been to a D23 Expo, think of how much time not having things like the park panel in the middle of the day frees up that you can go experience other things. Because that's one of the difficult parts of D23 is choosing which things you want to go see, because there's so many amazing things and a lot of them overlap, or they come real, real close and they're on literal opposite ends of this ginormous building that it's really difficult to do and see all the things. But if you don't have like the parks panel, which is, what is that? It's half of the day for these major panels. That frees you up to do a lot of fun things at like the one of our favorite places, the Walt Disney Archive stage. Also, tons of meet and greets and all that. So I'm really curious to see how that.
What are they going to do with the space that they currently use for the big keynote?
I don't know. We just had like a giant. We had a plane in one of the halls that they used big panels last year. So there might be. Maybe they're going to expand the Walt Disney Archives display that they always have on the expo floor into one of those bigger space. I don't know. Sky's the limit. So I'm excited to see how that unfolds as well.
Yeah. We still have to figure out
plan our calendars for the year to see what we're going to do, because there's so many amazing Disney things, but just so little time to try and fit them all in for these Midwesterners.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed all of that, because I'm looking at the recording just for this, and we're long.
It's a long episode this week, so thank you all for hanging out with us. We hope you all had a wonderful holiday season with your families and a happy new year.
It's okay. I'll be the only weekly tier without an answer. Make sure you send your questions to Producer James or Producer Vern at trivia@doweekly.net.
Welcome back to Trivia Land, where we are going to find out how many of your previously wrong answers became correct answers.
I'm actually not feeling too terrible.
Does it count like as like doubly wrong if we got it wrong twice? Like, how many times are you just going to keep recycling these until? No.
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
It's the beatings will commence until morale improves.
That's not the worst idea. Just keep pulling these like back up until
solidly,
you learn them.
Solidly in our noggins.
So one of the guys at school, one of the other instructors, he picks questions from each test and he repeats them on every test going throughout the term. Sure. And it gets longer and longer of the repeat questions.
Yeah.
Because he's like, these are the important things to remember. I don't know.
That makes sense.
Anyway.
No, that's a great way to teach. That's, all right. Well, let's get right into it. Your first listener submitted question from listener Kaveh S. What is the first song sung in Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln?
I don't think we got this one.
The correct answer that I was looking for there, Teresa knew it, America the Beautiful.
High five, Teresa.
Well done.
I'm glad we're on a stream because my mouth is agape.
Your second listener submitted question from listener Prince Damien. What is the only Disney movie that you enter the castle during the intro? Both of you knowing the correct answer was Enchanted. Well done. Your third question tonight from producer James. There's a hidden reference in plain sight at Big Thunder Mountain's entrance. There you will find a notice signed by Willard P. Bounds, U.S. Marshal. Who is this a tribute to? The correct answer was Lillian Disney's father, who was a blacksmith and U.S. Marshal in Idaho.
Good job, Teresa.
Both of you knowing that one as well.
I mean, in fairness, Teresa knew it, and I just hopped on that bandwagon.
Well, nonetheless, I wrote it down as you knew it.
Thank you.
Your fourth question tonight from listener Brooke A. In 1985, which promotional float in the Main Street Electrical Parade was destroyed by a fire? It was not Mother Goose, and it was not anything to do with the 30th anniversary. Dang. It was the Return to Oz float.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I just remembered, like, it didn't feel very
Disney.
Disney.
Yeah.
Yep. Your fifth question from listener Cooper C. In 2010, 60 MLB All-Stars made their way down Main Street before the 2010 All-Star Game in Angel Stadium. What MLB All-Star served as the Grand Marshal? It was not Jose Canseco. It was Rod Carew, the formal Angels player and Hall of Famer.
Yep.
Well, there was a role. we fell off. We fell off the role we were on.
You were doing great. And then we remembered how these questions stumped you before. Your sixth question from listener Tara F. How many languages are represented in the Coke Corner displays, and can you name all of them? Well, you knew that English was one of the languages, and Teresa knew that there were three languages. Good and job. The other two that we were looking for was Japanese and Hebrew.
Ooh!
Japanese!
I was almost there.
You talked about it, but Hebrew. You didn't lock it in. Your seventh question from listener Robert S., what is Mickey's middle name? Both of you saying Mortimer, but the correct answer I wanted was Theodore.
Oh.
Theodore?
I don't even remember hearing that the first time we had this question.
Yep. Mickey, Theodore, bad. Mouse.
Theodore. Hmm.
Yep. From producer James, your eighth question tonight. Michelle Pfeiffer was a cast member. What role did she play? I tried to give you a hint by saying that it wasn't necessarily a villain or a princess, because Alice in Wonderland isn't a villain or a princess. She's just a girl.
It's always Alice.
It's always Alice.
I don't know. Your ninth question from listener Michelle M. What attraction is in both Disneyland and in the Magic Kingdom, but is spelled differently in each park? The Astro Orbiter is in Disneyland, and the Astro Orbiter is in the Magic Kingdom.
You know, because I don't think about the Astro Orbiter.
No, I don't either.
That's right, because we had this whole rabbit hole afterwards about that I thought it was called the Rocket Jets. But it was not called the Rocket Jets anymore.
Yeah. No. No, it's now the Orbiter. Yep. Gleaned from my photos from the last time that I was in the parks, in Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railroad queue, there's a condiment stand where you can see many choices, including ketchup, catsup, your cheese, nacho cheese, barbecue sauce, mayonnaise relish, secret sauce, extra hot sauce, and what very not traditional, I'm not even sure it's a sauce. You said haggish. The answer was haggis. Haggis.
So...
I did say haggis.
And then she talked you into haggish. And I confirmed it before I let you move on to the next question.
It's a savory pudding, according to...
Savory pudding, that's a word for it.
Google.
Yeah, it contains sheep's pluck minced with onion, oatmeal, suet, spices, salt, mixed with stock, and cooked while traditionally encased in an animal's stomach.
Yeah. And it's not a sauce. It's
Scottish, I guess.
Yeah.
Community manager Kate says, definitely not a sauce.
No.
Yeah, no, it's not a sauce.
It's a national, considered to be the national dish of Scotland.
Look at there. Oh, so close.
One more.
Do we get a half point for that?
No, I'll give you a half point.
I feel like we should, because if we didn't have an H, we were basically there.
All right. Half point. And your final question tonight from listener Finn C. Disneyland has many dedication windows on Main Street, and there are also some other places in the park. In Frontierland, there is such a window. Can you name the fictional business and the person it is dedicated to? You knew that it was Fess Parker, and you were close enough to the Coonskin Hat Company.
Oh!
Or the Davy
Crockett
Coonskin Hat Company. Sorry, is the full name of it. Yes.
I had all the pieces.
Dang, that was a good one.
And you even knew Fess Parker played Davy Crockett in the 1954 Disney television shows. I mean, you didn't necessarily know the dates. But,
he rode on a house. He rode on a house. he rode on a horse on opening day.
Opening day, yeah. And many other appearances.
Yeah.
Yep, so I gave you credit on that one as well.
Getting that one.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was teamwork right there.
That was teamwork.
Well done on that. So, listeners, how do you think they did? Do you think you've got some great question that can really stump them in the future? Maybe even find your question on next year's year in review? If you've got that perfect question and you'd like to hear them be stumped on the air, or if you just want to hear your question on the air, feel free to send that in to us at trivia@dlweekly.net.
Well, we'll be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
Until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
And thank you to our wonderful editor, Sadell.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop and the doors have opened. Then collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us. And we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.